What's up, y'all?
Wes Rucker spent almost a decade dropping hot takes on Tennessee sports for Channel 10 during historic away games.
And Wes, there's been a lot of talk leading up to this bowl game.
And closer to Rocky Top, we featured his fun and thoughtful insights on a Sunday sports show.
You're on fire, Wes. You're on fire.
Some spots in Florida that's going to be in the swamp. They're going to have a couple of runs at you. They're going to make a couple of big plays on offense, defense, special teams.
Wes Rucker, Wes, what did we hear from Dave Hart? What did we not hear?
Yeah, Emily, it was an okay performance from Tennessee.
Most recently, loyal viewers caught him daily on 10 at 3 with Wes Rucker.
Even if I have an opinion that I think can be backed by numbers, I will tell you, this is what I think, and here's why I think it.
Launched in late November, he laid out the plans with 10 News anchor Brittany Bailey.
We are so happy to have you here at WBIR.
I'm so happy to be here. You know, I've been on the station several times,
yes,
where we're not strangers to each other, but joining in this capacity is just so exciting to me.
You could catch him daily for the full hour streaming, but online, he was prolific. Play-by-play, analysis, and memes comboed with a on-point take for sports insiders.
If you'll forgive me here, got to risk it to get the biscuit.
But if you're one of his more than 140,000 followers on X, you know he felt privileged to cover sports, but he coveted family. On Valentine's Day, he wrote to his wife, "To my forever Valentine, a 5'10" statue of perfection whose existence is the reason I regret nothing in my life, because every step in that life led me to her." Wes ended the post with another line that is, well, pure Wes. "I love you. I'm sorry I covered 3 games today." That post featured 3 photos, and of course, one included his 4-year-old boy, Hank. On Wes's desk at work, perfectly organized, and a sign, "World's Greatest Dad." Wes was open about his little boy's health struggles, the kidney concerns, agonizing visits with doctors, the good, the bad, the scary, and always praising the loving care Hank and the entire family received from the doctors and nurses at East Tennessee Children's Hospital. Earlier this month, Wes announced brave little Hank still gets to keep both his kidneys, saying in the post, "If I could hug everyone who works at East Tennessee Children's, I would." Right now, we hope you hug your loved ones extra tight in honor of Wes, sports writer, show host, but most importantly, Hank's dad and Lauren's husband. Wes Rucker was 43.
And we welcome you into the studio that Wes built. My name is John Becker. I'm an anchor here at WBIR, and I'm joined by my colleagues John North and Corey Presley. John is our veteran investigative reporter. Corey Presley is our news director and boss. In front of us is Wes's tablet and his pen and his children's hospital mug. Unfortunately, he is not with us after a crash took his life yesterday. We are here to reflect on Wes, his impact, and what he did, not just for us, but for our entire community. And we hope you stay with us for a little of that today as we do our best to honor our colleague, Wes Rucker. And I want to begin with Corey Presley. Corey, you hired Wes, and he was not just a colleague, but a friend.
Yeah. You know, I started following Wes when I was overnights in Columbia, South Carolina, and I had an hour-long drive, and I listened to him on Swain Event, and it's just something about him. He was engaging, right? You wanted to know more. You listened when he spoke, and you know, that was back in 2017, so the opportunity opened up in 2025 to bring him into WBIR, and had a conversation with him at Steamboat Subs, and you know, he was so excited because he wanted to keep serving this community in the only way he knew how, and that was talking sports, giving real text or giving real context to what was going on, and being brutally honest about it. And so we talked for months. How can we get him here? We probably need a space like this, because if you know Wes, he's not going to say anything in 5 seconds, you know. Mm-hmm. He's gonna take some time, and so we built this. And JB, what you said off the top, this is the room that Wes built. And over the time we've had it, 72 episodes of Tenet 3.
Maybe we should name this room after him.
I think that's on its way. And so, look, I got to know him really well middle part of last year and throughout this year. We talked a lot about our sons. Mm-hmm. Carter, my son, 2 years older, or 2 days older than Hank, mm-hmm. both at UT Medical. So we were passing ships. Mm-hmm. And just Hank loves cars. Carter loves cars. We always joked about the play date that we would get together, but unfortunately never could organize. So, look, it's heavy in this room, gentlemen. You know, it's been heavy for 12 hours now.
It has been. And we just want you to know that we are feeling the love. And just proof of that and his impact on the community is what the GoFundMe site for him and his family and benefiting them has done today. We have seen national sports figures as well as coaches at the University of Tennessee, including Josh Heupel, who just said a wonderful tribute to Wes Rucker online, and is one of the reasons that we are seeing the GoFundMe site for Lauren and Hank and their unborn child just skyrocket right now. John North, I want to talk with you a little bit about that online explosion of grief and remembrance.
Well, like everybody in this room, I didn't sleep very well last night. Mm-hmm. And so when I finally got out of bed about 7:30 this morning and got my coffee and sat down at the computer, I turned on Twitter, which rightly or wrongly is one of the first things I do, and I was astonished mm-hmm. at what I was seeing. I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it was person after person, fan after fan, sports writer after writer, talking about him, and they all said the same things. Yeah. Fantastic family man, great sports authority, one of the finest people you're going to meet. And I was like, I cannot remember the last time I've seen something like that, where you had somebody after his abrupt and very sad passing just immediately draw that kind of reaction. Mm-hmm. And we hadn't even commented at that point. We had made the deliberate decision to kind of hold off, yeah. give it a little space, but the word had gotten out, and it was phenomenal. Jen Triestis, who is in Italy right now covering the Olympics, usually writes sports for the Tennessean, for the USA Today Network, somebody I always read on Sundays especially. You know, he had a tribute saying, one of my best friends is gone. Ellis Rold is preparing a story mm-hmm. in which she communicated with Gentry and some of the WBIR alumni in sports who used to work here. So we've all been kind of astonished. I will tell you that, that me personally, having been just so kicked in the gut mm-hmm. yesterday afternoon by what was happening and having a hard time absorbing that, because we'd just seen him leave the newsroom. It was gratifying to me to know that that was what people thought about him.
Corey, I want to bring you in again as we look at a photo of his family. And just for a second, mention Jason Swain, because Jason worked with Wes for years, and he said the sudden loss of Wes Rucker has left a deep void in many lives. His family now faces immense challenges without the support they need. Please consider donating or sharing to help provide stability for Lauren and her children during this difficult time. Every contribution counts.
It does. And the hardest part, I think, about my role is when tragedy strikes, you know, unfortunately, you're the one that's having to deal with the heartache both in the building and out of the building. And so last night, I've been in contact with Lauren, who, by the way, just texted me, and I want to get to that in a second. Mm-hmm. She feels so loved right now. And if anyone's watching this, which I'm sure they are, she's overwhelmed and so thankful for what East Tennessee and the nation is really doing. She says she's watching, and she's so honored and so grateful for us. Means more than words that we are celebrating and honoring her best friend's life. So thank you, Lauren. Lauren, you are a stone. You are a rock. You are loved. you know, I like to tell my wife all the time that no man has ever loved a woman the way I love you. If I had to put money on a close second, it would be Wes and Lauren. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, I mean, we've watched this GoFundMe tick up all afternoon, and it's just, it's amazing. It's humbling, you know, but that's what East Tennessee does. You guys have seen it time and time again.
Time and again. Corey, one thing that people who may be watching may or may not know, but it's in his X handle. He talks about learning to walk twice.
Yeah.
Wes was a fighter. He was a comeback kid in many ways. Explain what happened to him in his 30s.
Yeah, so kind of a freak thing. You know, the first time he told me about it, he had kind of gone to bed, wasn't feeling great, and so I'll sleep it off. You know, that, frankly, guys, that's what we do, right? We don't feel good, and we go to sleep, and we're like, well, we'll be fine. Well, he woke up the next morning, and he couldn't stand. You know, he fell to the floor is what I recall him telling me, and that's when he knew he had a problem. And so they got him to the hospital, and the way he told it is he had a pretty frank conversation with the doctor. And the doctor said, all right, well, there's going to be some things that aren't the same anymore. So what do you want us to prioritize? And he said, I want to be able to walk, and I want to be able to live a mostly normal life. Those are the two things I care about. And the doctor said, well, you might have some pain, or you might have some numbness. He said, I don't care about any of that. I just want to be able to walk around. I think he even said, I want to dance with my wife. The doctor said, hey, it's going to be tough. This is not going to be an easy road. And he said, as if you knew him, he always talked about his dad and how his dad was a contractor and, you know, did a lot of construction work. He said, I'm not afraid of hard work. And he wasn't by no means. And he worked hard, and he got back on his feet. And the way he walked around this room, you could never tell that he
never.
I never knew.
There are several people who in this room who came up to me, who interacted with him on a daily basis. And they're like, I had no idea he was a stroke survivor.
I didn't.
You know, and that's just a testament to who he is. You know, he's just a, you know, he's a wonderful man, a dear friend. You know, I was, to talk more about who he is, the last text he sent me was to flag me on an issue someone else was having in the building. They were having a computer issue, and they felt like they were trying to duct tape it. He was like, please fix this. Like, please. Like, he was always advocating for other people. So he's just, man, he's a real gem.
I want to take a moment, John, I'm going to bring you in just a second, but, there's so much levity to Wes, and we dug back in the WBIR archives, and Lauren, I hope you're watching, and I hope you take this in, because, this really pleased us to catch him playing hooky. If you don't mind rolling that, Tom, we'll watch that for a minute.
When we first met Wes Rucker here at WBIR, his days as a renowned sports journalist were but a twinkle in his eye. In 1999, as Knoxville Catholic was set to move from East Knoxville to its current location, Wes, as he would be known to do, gave his honest opinion of the situation.
We drive by places every morning that make us realize how lucky we are, and we don't get that now.
By pure happenstance, we ran into Wes again 2 months later, this time under more suspicious circumstances.
You go to what school?
Knoxville Catholic High School.
I thought they were in session today.
It's hip to skip.
It's hip to skip? It's hip to skip?
It's a memory he would recall on his Twitter page in 2013 and more recently on 10 at 3.
I got Catholic school stories for days, including the time where the Ken Schwall, who used to work here, actually caught some of us doing senior skip day.
Wow.
And got us in school suspension.
Swain Rucker, Tennessee Sports Radio, 1180 AM, TNSportsRadio.com. Jason Swain, Wes Rucker.
By 2012, Wes had graduated from the University of Tennessee, worked for multiple newspapers, and began hosting radio shows.
Embarrassing. The last 2 years, now that was embarrassing. I think this year it's just they're not making one or two plays in a game. I don't know that that's embarrassing.
Beginning in the mid-2010s, he was a frequent collaborator with WBIR.
From GoVols247.com, I'm Wes Rucker.
Before beginning his 10 at 3 streaming show in 2025.
Thanks for being here today, guys. Thanks in the back, everything. Thank y'all back there. We will see y'all. Thank you for watching. We'll see you in 71 hours.
Little slice of early Wes Rucker, and I want to read this that
a fan passed along to me about his words on his podcast, words that feel a little bit more important this morning. They write, and this is what he said. Be kind to each other, guys. Just try to be kind to each other. There's just not nearly enough people in this world being kind to each other.
Especially today.
And having a basic human empathy and dignity. Let's be better to each other. Let's be good. See you guys. Let's be good, John.
Yeah, that's... I had seen him around and I knew about him until you hired him and brought him in, and I thought, gosh, this guy is really smart. And mm-hmm. I don't mean just sports. I mean the guy is just smart, mm-hmm. and that impressed me. He used to we'd be having a conversation about this arcane thing or that arcane thing, and he'd be sitting in sports and he would pop his head out and join in the conversation, and he would know something that you didn't know and add to the conversation. He was just that intelligent, which I always admire. But his show was, well, first of all, I don't know about you guys, but I, in my mind, he's just stepped away for a minute, so yeah. I haven't yeah. processed that he's not here anymore.
1,000%.
So to me, he's just not sitting in the chair right now. Right. He was here yesterday.
He's yeah. playing hooky.
Yeah. 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 He would appreciate that probably. He was here yesterday. But like last week, because he's so knowledgeable about sports and what have you, the day before the Joey Aguilar hearing in Chancery Court, which as we speak, we're waiting on a decision, I said, would you mind... can we shoot the breeze a little bit about that? We can sort of set the table on what's going to happen, what to expect. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's cool. So I was really delighted and had fun sitting in this chair right here talking with him about it and bantering about it with him and feeling like one mind was sort of engaged with another and bouncing stuff off and having a really fun time in a conversation. And I know Tom, who's with us sitting behind me, got to experience that every day. It's a little selfish of me to say this, but pardon me, excuse me for saying it. He knew that my grandfather had been a sports broadcaster, I think when he first started here. Somehow we talked about it. He was a Cubs fan. My grandfather once, long time ago, announced Cubs games, but that wasn't the main team he worked for. And as we were talking last week, after that Aguilar discussion, he said, you're a baseball fan, and this summer we are going to do a show about that. And I just thought, man, you could not have said a better thing to me right now. That was mm-hmm. awesome.
Mm-hmm. Corey, you've got one of our colleagues.
Yeah. So this is hey, Elijah, we're going to come to you in just a second, okay? I want to set something up. So I believe a lot of what I do is relational when it comes to bringing people in to this building. Because if I know you, and I know you're a hard worker, I want to work with you again. Wes was someone I knew how hard he worked because of the stuff he'd done prior. This next guy, when I told you I was working in Columbia, he was also working in Columbia. His name's Elijah Nixon. Elijah is one of our great sports folks. And he and Wes... they bonded very, very quickly. Elijah taking some much deserved rest and time today, but wanted to come in on the phone. Elijah, we're going to try this. I don't know how well this is going to work, but can you talk, if you can, about, yeah, gotcha. Can you talk a little bit about you and Wes's friendship?
Yes, yes. Wes was he was a funny guy. We all know that how good of a writer he was. He had great punctuations after every sentence, but if you talk to him in person, he was a run-on sentence. Like he will keep going and going. But the thing about what I really liked about Wes was he was true to himself. No matter what nobody said or what nobody how somebody felt about him, he was very passionate about what he said and how he felt about situations. And that's why I think our bond really started, because it wasn't like anything that he was doing was for a facade, like for Twitter. He what he felt is what he said. And I remember some of our conversations that we had. It was one that we had a park in his far garage going to the Oklahoma game. And he was just telling me about, you know, what to expect in Knoxville, what to do. And he made it so easy and so calm. And when I moved down here, because it was like he just was telling me, hey, this is what it is. And I remember one of our last conversations, it was the LSU game, and I was shooting a stand-up, and I kept messing up on one word and things of that nature. And he said, Elijah, you know what you're talking about. Be yourself. And I just looked at him and I said, thank you. So, and I did it. But Wes was a great guy, man. And he talked about Hank and he talked about Lauren and he talked about his daughter that's on the way. It just hit me hard when I heard the news, because I was ready to tell him that everything that happened, birthday wise for myself, that I just celebrated. And, it's just gonna hurt, because every day, the same day I tell him I'll leave, before I leave, I'll say, tomorrow's a new day, and I'll see you the next day, Wesley. And he'll be like, right on, brother. And that was it. But, yeah, it's kind of hurt that I won't be able to say that too much longer now, so.
Yeah. All right, Elijah, appreciate you calling in, man. Love you. And if we can do anything for you, you know where to find us, okay?
Yes, thank you.
Appreciate you, Elijah. One thing we have, Corey, that you brought up is Wes's last words on his final podcast. And we want to listen to that because I think it offers an even more poignant lesson right now.
We say what we think. You do not have to agree with me. I do not make that a requirement at all. But you will always know what I think. You will always know what I think, because I am not smart enough to hide it. I'm not, and I don't care to. I think transparency is the only way for us. I think as close to full transparency as you can be, and I've said this many times, and I offer this as a PSA now and then, if we want the people that we cover to be open, accountable, honest, candid, why do we not expect the same of ourselves? That's, even if people don't care, and a lot don't, and I don't blame them, don't care what about us or who we are or what we're doing. We're just kind of grist in the mill, and that's fine. That I don't take that personally. You know, if somebody else stepped in and did my job, you'd still follow that person because that's the team that you know, they cover the teams that you want to see. It's not about us. I only do it, and I try to emphasize this, I only do it. I don't even care about myself. I don't, really. I'm not sure anybody in my own house cares about me at times, if I'm being honest. But, or what I think. They care about my existence, not what I think. But I'm just trying to be the example that you want to set in the world, right? Do not be a hypocrite. My parents did not raise hypocrites, and we don't abide by that. We don't tolerate it.
John, his precision as a writer, I think those of us who do it every day can really appreciate. When I would follow him in game and watch what he was saying about the game, it was just so on point and specific. You just felt like you were there. He was one of those journalists who took you there on X.
It goes back to his natural intelligence and his curious mind and his willingness to learn. If you are that kind of a person, then you are going to be a more literate person no matter what it is you're writing or talking about, and that's just the way he was. I'd be honest with you, just now you saying that, I probably had more non-sports conversations with Wes than I had sports conversations with him.
Yeah, well, you better not bring up gardening around him. Or
we didn't talk about that.
or he's gonna take you to town for it. No, I mean, I think, you know, in the grand scheme of all the people that we talk to in a year, he's probably in that top three of easiest to talk to. Like, if he walked in my office, and I say this with so much love, I was like, well, there goes 45 minutes, you know? And we may go from gardening to parenting, to some history documentary that he watched, you know, like he loved people, and he related to them in such a way. It's so unique. I would be watching the games, and something bad would happen, and I would think to myself, oof, and I'd look at my phone, Wes Rucker, oof. And I'm like, yeah. Well, yeah, I can relate to that guy.
Big know? Time. And you made the point that once he knew a player, he always followed a player.
There was a really cool moment, you know, that happened. Jemai Meshack, you know, he followed him forever. Meshack, one of those, like, dominant defensive players.
Great hooper.
Great hooper, right? Probably didn't get enough credit while he was here. He got called up to the NBA, and it was either his first or second professional game. He stole the ball from one of the best players in the NBA. I think it was Jokic, I think, is who it was. Don't quote me on that. So Wes, doing Wes things, because he's watching everything, says, Jemai doing Jemai things, and great to see him get this. Jemai saw that today, like maybe a couple hours ago, and was like, hey, that's just who Wes is. You know, he follows us. He keeps an eye on us. And he always gives us our due when we deserve it. And you know, that's going to be a real vacuum. You know, that's going to be a real vacuum.
He filled that space that we call social media, John, in a way that benefited people.
He had the ability to converse and speak with authority without offending anybody or coming across as a jerk. He just, because he had that intelligence, he was just a guy who could have a conversation and you're like, well, I mean, you know, maybe I don't disagree. Maybe I disagree with him, but he's not being a jerk about it. He was easygoing. He had a very good sense of who he was, and that made a difference.
What struck me as well is just Corey mentioning Jemai Meshack. We also heard from these coaches who he covered and didn't always say great things about. He was real, and I think they appreciated. Nothing proved that more than the remarks today by Coach Rick Barnes at the University of Tennessee. Let's listen to what he had to say about Wes.
Yeah, before we get started, as you know, we lost a friend and a colleague yesterday, and Wes Rucker, and just heartbreaking. It really is. It's just heartbreaking, and our hearts and prayers go out to Lauren, son Hank, and the one that's on the way. And we just ask that God will place a holy hedge of protection around his family and his entire family. And Wes was a wonderful person. He really a wonderful guy, and covered athletics here for, what, a quarter of a century, and such a part of the UT family and the sports family here in Knoxville. And we just ask that today at some point you say a prayer for Wes and his family. And I know that, again, we're going to miss him dearly. He loved what he did. He loved his family. And I'm just thankful that God allowed him to be a part of my life for the last 11 years. And, again, today at some point in time, I just pray that you pray for his family.
Coach Rick Barnes about Wes Rucker. And John, we touched on this at the top, but Wes's son Hank had dealt with some serious kidney problems, and he placed so much love and faith in the people at Children's Hospital, who we have had such a wonderful relationship over the years, and this is what they had to say about him. We are saddened by the loss of an influential community member and avid Children's Hospital supporter, Wes Rucker. We are grateful for Wes and his family's continued support for our mission over the years. Our deepest sympathies, thoughts, and prayers are with his loved ones.
Well, at the start, as you said, we talked about what really mattered to him. His kid and his wife were the most dear things to him. There's another mug, I think, at his workspace, at his desk for Children's. I mean, nothing is more deep than a love for your child, and it was profound for him, and he was always grateful to Children's for having helped his little boy, who is a pistol, by the way.
Yeah, we love when he
character.
Come in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I think he was in several times, and the first time I was like, oh, this is a cool little dude. I like this guy. But it was, and I'm glad they were able to help Hank, too.
Yeah, I loved his. There's a shot that we did of Hank where he's wearing that Hot Wheels cap that Corey mentioned. He and his son love to play cars, and that seemed to epitomize a little rugrat whose motor is driven. Corey, you've got some more news for us.
Yeah, fitting. This is happening.
100% it is.
Right now. we just got news of the Joey Aguilar case. So I'm going to read the order.
And this is the Vol quarterback, for those of you who are just listening, this is the Tennessee quarterback who is petitioning the court for another year of eligibility so he can come back and play that position for Big Orange this year, Corey.
Yeah, so, and of course, you know, my fat thumbs have gone through and hit the wrong spot. But here's what it says. According to the order, accordingly, it is ordered, adjudged, decreed as follows. The temporary restraining order granted in the ex parte temporary restraining order entered on February 4th, 2026 is dissolved. That the emergency request for restraining order and temporary injunction filed by Jose Joey Aguilar on February 4th, 2026 is denied, and that the civil action shall be set for a trial on the merits on a date that is convenient for the parties and the court. Mr. North.
So there you go. Thumbs down from Chancellor Chris Hagerty. That's very interesting. In covering that, Emily Ray Cochran, our colleague, and I sat there, and it was a really lively discussion. The chancellor was really poking both sides, challenging both sides, kept telling Aguilar's lawyers, give me some proof. I need proof. I need numbers. I need to know how this is really going to affect. He also pushed back on the other side. And, you know, it's fascinating. That's when a judge is doing a good job, when you're not quite sure how it's going to come out. But he did not buy, ultimately, arguments that that the quarterback made and that his lawyer made, and his lawyer, by the way, is a terrific attorney, Cam Norris, lives here, from here, but, you know, practices and has a national practice well known. The chancellor ultimately didn't buy the arguments that, hey, and it was kind of fashioned from a similar argument that was made a few years ago, you guys may remember, up the road in Greenville, saying that the NC2A was violating the Sherman Antitrust Act. One of the things Cam Norris argued was not just that the JUCO rule, that time played for JUCO counted against somebody in college at Division I, that was wrong, but also, you know, Cam Norris said there is a state law in Tennessee which is meant to ensure free competition, meaning, and that's where we are going with thought in this country right now and college players, that somebody ought to be able to trade their wares, to compete, to offer their services for the most money they can get. And it, yeah, we haven't read the full opinion yet, but he didn't buy it.
29 pages.
Yeah, well,
29 pages.
It'll take a little time, but he didn't buy it.
So we'll talk about what's next, but in the immediate future, we know that Joey Aguilar is planning to go to the NFL Combine, or at least train for it, so that he may have that option. So when I say what's next in this case, John, we talk about a trial. What do you think? What do you think does turn the screw here?
Well, for Aguilar, it's such a matter of urgency. He's got to start thinking about the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where he has to now turn his attention, because the clock is ticking. I mean, no offense, I could be wrong, but all those Vol fans that were thinking, oh, good, we may get him for another season, I don't think so.
Yeah, and even I think, you know, as a lifelong battered Vol here, you know, speaking in that capacity and not a journalistic, you know, I think everyone was prepared for that. I think everyone knew that this might be a long shot. His case, not exactly like Trinidad Chambliss out of Ole Miss. There's some differences there, key differences. And man, what a precedent setting case that would have been.
Would have been huge.
That's a nationwide news. So. Yeah, man, just I'm sitting here thinking of my buddy Wes, and
he should be there.
He should be there. You know, falling short here to do the best Wes, and you know, there just won't be anyone else who can do it like him. And you know, I hate that, you know, sorry fellas, but I hate that we're the ones trying to fill in here.
Amen to that. I do think, John, your legal brain helps here for people trying to understand why the judge went one way and not the other. He had to read a lot in a short amount of time.
Yeah, well, you know, he knew this was a high profile case. I kind of chuckled during the hearing because Aguilar's attorney was like, we are only talking about Mr. Aguilar here. And I'm sitting there going, baloney. We are talking about lots and lots of people. And even Cam Norris was like, well, we have 10 Division I schools in Tennessee, and they're all potentially affected by it or what have you.
There was a great moment, too, when the NCAA lawyer goes a little fanboy on Joey Aguilar.
Yeah, that was toward the end of the discussion. It was about 2 hours, and that was interesting, too. Smart, tactic, and talking about sort of the tactics, that he turned to him. He's standing, and he turns to him, and he says, you are a hero to kids here in Knoxville. You are awesome. Thank you. But that doesn't mean that you should get to play another year. That rules are rules. That's what the NC2A kept saying. The rules are the rules. We don't have a burden to prove anything. It's on him, and he hasn't done it.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll certainly continue to parse this out. Again,
there's Chris.
It is a ruling that will ripple through Rocky Top, and Corey, you mentioned it. I think it's fitting that it broke right during our remembrance.
Yeah, that's crazy,
isn't it? Yeah, you know, talking to Wes in the early part of this studio, he'd always get a little frustrated because he was a perfectionist. He wanted perfection. And the amount of times he'd walk out of this room, look at his phone, and be like, well, I could have talked about that instead of the monkey in the store that did all that damage. You know, like, I could have done.
I think he would have preferred talking about that monkey. He loved that monkey.
Well, he did have a picture of that monkey on his wall.
He has a picture of that monkey next to his desk.
Yeah, it's there. Yes, and it's displayed prominently. And so, you know, for him, he always wanted that breaking news, and he wanted it to break here. And, you know, that's just the rule. That's the way it works sometimes. Sometimes it breaks in here. Sometimes it doesn't. The day after that big of a decision breaking at openly to those who were watching at home, I think John and I were like, well, we'll do 30 minutes and then we'll, you know, transition to something else. And for it to hit at the 3:30 mark is a sign that, well, maybe we weren't supposed to be done at that point.
Feels like a wink to me. Yeah. You heard the voice of Tom Barclay, and Tom, I want to bring you in because you've been a producer for Wes's streaming show now for an enormous amount of time.
Since his coronation?
Yeah. Daniel's with you now, as Corey mentioned, more than 70 episodes.
Yeah.
I'd like to hear your thoughts. Daniel Bennett, thank you for being here as well. What's running through your mind today, Tom?
The big one is I miss Wes, you know? As you said, he should have been here, be the one to deliver that news that we just got a minute ago. I mean, one of my favorite things about Wes was, you know, you could literally talk to him about anything. Mm-hmm. And I mean, the conversations we would have in here sometimes would go completely off the walls. Like yesterday, we spent, I don't know, maybe like 10 minutes talking about that notebook that's sitting right there. How he loved that particular brand of notebook and that zebra pen that he's got. And he can make it interesting, you know?
Yeah, he lost that pen a week ago.
Oh, yeah, he was furiously searching for it.
He lost that pen, and it took out 45 minutes of his day, which, man, Wes, the person, I love him so much. Managing Wes is a completely different animal, and we're all unique. But this is the same man that stole a life-size Buddy the Elf.
Yeah, oh, yes. I wanted to bring that Buddy the Elf in. I know that's a big ask.
That's a big ask.
tell us about that story, though.
Yeah, that's a whole saga. We spent 30 minutes talking about that elf between myself and then Wes and then Emily and Elijah. It was nuts.
I'm not going to spend the 30 minutes on it because I won't do it as well as him anyways. But just some background. Every year we do Fantasy of Trees. And every year, part of the partnership is we can take a tree from Fantasy of Trees, bring it to the station, we put it up in the set, and it's ranged from all sorts of stuff in the several years that I've been here. This year, the sales team said, well, they wanted this elf that came along with a Buddy the Elf life-size figure. Let me tell you guys, it will haunt your dreams. If you see this thing, it will haunt
your
dreams.
It is nightmare fuel.
It is nightmare fuel.
It's all decorated with lights now.
And so sales, rightfully, put it in the studio, away from everything. Wes sees it, and he says, oh, that's mine. That's mine. Mm-hmm. So he takes it, puts it in the sports office, doesn't tell anyone it's in the sports office and leaves the little like motion thing on. So when you walk into the sports office, you get, I'm Buddy the Elf. What's your favorite color?
You get jump scared by this like Uncanny Valley Buddy the Elf.
Yeah.
It really
is. It's like the teamy version of Buddy the Elf.
His colleagues did not like it.
No, they did not.
But you know what? It ain't going anywhere now.
And it's not going anywhere because after sales took it back, again, this is their Buddy the Elf. They took it back. He stole it back and attached it to about 80 pounds of weights and bike cables. And guys, that thing is part of the building now. It's not moving. Nope. Like nowhere. It's just not. And again, just a summary. And I thought some guys at my church, they were like, Wes, what's it like? And this was in the middle of the Buddy the Elf saga. And I'm like, guys, I'm currently managing two departments who are fighting over Buddy the Elf. And the main instigator here is Wes Rucker. And that's all you need to know about managing Wes. Oh gosh, you found it! Oh my goodness,
is that not?
I mean,
scary?
Does that not just creep you out?
The face is
look
scary.
At look at not Katie's. Katie. It not, says, not "I am you. Terrified." Is the subtext on
that's
that
the appropriate reaction?
It is.
It's the PG version of what many would say. But yeah, it's yeah that's
Tom.
Man, I'm gonna miss that,
Tom. What will you miss in terms of a colleague? But also, if somebody wants to watch one of the podcasts that really you think is Wes Rucker at his finest, is there one that stands out that you were a part of?
I mean, that Buddy the Elf one that we did was possibly the most vibrant of the episodes we did, which is it was classic Wes, you know, him just finding a tangent and then just exploiting it for all it was worth for the entirety of the show. I think we spent maybe about 10 minutes, if I remember correctly, talking about basketball after it, and that was about that. I mean, it's really difficult to pick one episode. You know, we I think a really good one. That I remember, and you know, I think we were all very proud of was when we had Emily and Elijah out at Nashville for the bowl game, and we, you know, it was just this wonderful conversation between them, and just so dynamic and so, you know, so exuberant. Wes being just super excited to see the balls, and you know, just honestly, you know, if you want to watch any of the episodes, you can listen to them too. You don't have to just watch. We have a, you know, the podcast is still there on, I believe, Apple and Spotify. But we, you know, we can come to our YouTube page and find every episode that we've ever done since, I believe, November, correct? So yeah, there's plenty of ways you can see Wes still.
We also, you mentioned them, his colleagues. He's been tight with Elijah. We heard from him earlier. And, Corey, you're on the phone with Emily Ray Cochran, who's another colleague of his in the sports office.
Yeah. Hey, Emily, you got us?
I got you guys.
Hey, girl.
Hey.
Hey, guys.
Hey, so I know you and Wes spent a lot of time together, and, you know, I know you're heartbroken right now and just kind of want to get, you know, you said you wanted to talk a little bit about Wes. You just texted me, and so just want to hear what you have to say.
Yeah, well, first of all, I think it's really cool that you guys are kind of filling in today. Really sweet. I started working with Wes when I guess maybe right before this football season. And right away, he was so eager to jump in head first and just try to help in as many ways as he could, even though we all kind of knew, you know, him being a writer, his role was a little bit different than ours. But he was always so willing to try and help as much as he can when we were short-staffed. And there was never a doubt in my mind that he always wanted the best for the sports department and always wanted to try to make us better with his experience. And Elijah and I both respected the heck out of him for how long he's been in this market and how he got his start. And I think I just read a newspaper clip on Twitter that, you know, he wrote to one of the senior writers on the beat and asked at 18 years old if he could, you know, start writing, because he's a good writer and he thought he had the experience and he wanted to just get into this industry. And I respect him so much for that. And that's kind of how he always treated this job. And he would tackle on, you know, three sports in one day. I remember, you know, he did the show from Monday through Friday, but, you know, baseball season is approaching and he didn't know what off day to take off because he never really wanted to take an off day because he was so passionate about this job and, you know, the people working in this building. And he was so eager to make relationships with everybody. I think Elijah also mentioned just how much of a good person he was when it came to listening to other people's stories and wanting to get to know everybody at WBIR. And yeah, I spent 6 hours in a car with him to Kentucky and we just yeah.
Can you explain that experience?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I can for sure. The ride up was great. We talked work a lot. We talked about Hank and Lauren a lot. Talked about dogs a lot. He loved Gus so much. And then on the way back, you know, I'm trying to take a nap and he's still talking. I'm like, Wes, it's 3 a.m. Can we please go to, well, he was driving so he couldn't go to sleep, yeah. But I was like, all right, let me take a nap here. But no, there's nothing he loved more than this job. And also, you know, his family, and you can tell by just the hundreds and thousands of posts you're seeing online. Yeah, he brought Hank into the office a lot. And I remember he had Hank write me and Elijah little like letters that said, sorry about your Eagles, sorry about your Rams, because they got knocked out of the playoffs. And it was just really sweet. Lauren is one of the kindest humans I've ever met. So, you know, I'm absolutely devastated for the whole family. But yeah, Wes was a great person. And I know we only worked together for half a year, but I'm really, really thankful for that experience because he taught me so much. And I hope I was able to teach a little bit of TV stuff about him or to him as well. So it sucks. It's heartbreaking. But yeah, I just wanted to hop on and share some things.
Thanks, Emily Ray. You and you take the rest of the day. Enjoy your day. And if you need anything, we're here for you, okay?
Thank you. We love you, Ray.
Love you. Bye.
So just hearing her comments and Elijah's comments as well, I was been texting with Nick Carboni, who was longtime sports director here. And I called him last night, and he was just heartbroken. As you know, and just had nothing but the highest praise that we heard from Emily and that we were seeing online about Wes being such a terrific sports writer, but also a welcoming person. Nick said, listen, he would help at the drop of a hat, and what a legacy that is.
Well, even on like non-sports stuff, news stuff, right? We had a, if you all will remember, we were lucky we dodged a bullet with the ice storm that kind of split off and really spanked Nashville, but we were all bracing for it and having these intense planning sessions. And Wes was like, you just give me a holler, however I can help you, I'll come in and do whatever.
Yeah, and the extra context there that some people don't know unless you work at news is there are a lot of folks just in news in general. If something happens and they're not doing the exact job that they got hired to do, like, why I'm not going to go stand out in the cold? I'm not going to go stand in a hurricane. I'm not. I don't know if Wes has ever said I'm not. You know, he was.
Yeah.
He was the first one, and Emily Ray and Elijah too. Elijah was in like 1 degree weather,
and he seemed like he was having a good time out there.
He's from Connecticut,
but Wes was more disappointed than anything because I think that didn't he end up staying inside for the most part?
Wes,
he was upset that he didn't get to go out.
Wes wanted to go out and cover it, and he got stuck in here with Buddy the Elf, and that was punishment enough for him. But no, I know where they've hung up now. You know, Wes had several conversations with me, with Elijah and Emily Ray, and man, he adored them.
Yeah.
You know, and just, you know, talking to Lauren earlier today, he adored this place. You know, he adored coming into a room that's filled with people as passionate as he is to serve this community. And I think, gentlemen, we're coming to, I think, the 5-minute warning here. I think it's a lesson to all of us. We can forget we're in the good times. And we can't, sometimes we can't appreciate that we got a lot of good going on. The thing that hits me hard is I'm usually pretty good at that. And then yesterday happened. And I realized I haven't been living and appreciating and loving on people probably the way I should. And so, but that's no more. I think it's an opportunity for all of us to, one, if you've not, I said it this morning in the editorial, if you've not called someone that you love today, you have no other excuse. It's an outright challenge at this point. And don't text them, don't email them, don't leave them a voicemail. Get them on the phone. Better yet, go see them if you can, because you never know when's going to be your last chance.
John, any final thoughts?
I just would agree with that. Maybe it's just getting older in life, but I usually, when somebody is leaving, I will say, be safe, drive carefully. And I'm sure they look at me and think, well, everything's going to be fine, because everything is always fine. But to your point, you should never take a friendship or a love for granted. You should savor it every day. Because life is life, and sometimes it just decides that it wants to impose itself on you, and there's nothing you can do about that. And that is what happened yesterday. Wes was minding his own business, and his life was taken from him. And we have to remember to value our friends and our loved ones.
I would just say thank you both for being here. Tom, thank you. Daniel, thank you for being here. We appreciate all of you who have joined us this afternoon to remember Wes. The thing I think about with pain like this is there's no getting rid of it. You've got to sit with it. You got to wrestle with it. And then you got to find a way to do something good with it. And I think that's what Wes would want. My final words to him were yesterday, walking out of this studio, and I said, Wes, the studio is yours. And in my mind, this studio will always be Wes Rucker's studio.